Matthew and Isaac.
Hi, Matthew.
Powerful, eh? Yeah. Thanks for asking all. I mean, I'm not so sure, but I was grateful at the time. I suppose I was more grateful that he asked me on Wednesday to come and share on Friday, so I can now get this done and then concentrate on the World Cup. Sort of first things first and all that. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear, really. And, you know, I've been coming to this meeting virtually every week for nearly 5 years. I haven't used since I've been coming here, yeah, and there's still a little part of me that tells you you're not good enough or you shouldn't be up here. And really, I know that's not the truth. So I'm just trying to go against that. And Annie's making me nervous as well. When I got here, you know, I was just thinking back 4 years ago to the last World Cup, and it was very different. It was very, very different. I was about 8 months clean. I was in a lot of pain, and I sort of wanted to go into treatment as it goes. And the fella in there sort of just encouraged me to just go to more meetings and get involved, because I was very resistant. I didn't really want what was on offer. I sort of really just craved to be able to go back to what I was doing, but to be able to do it successfully, which obviously I wasn't able to. That's why I ended up here. And for a long time while I was here, I just sort of, I was sort of unwilling, really. I was really resistant. It was a big shock to me when I got here. I mean, I was 25. You know, I didn't come here and think these are the people I've always been looking for and this is what I've always wanted. I was absolutely mortified. I might as well have been an alien, you know, a 25-year-old scouser who doesn't drink. I thought, what's it all about, really? So it took a lot of getting used to, and obviously at the beginning I didn't really understand what it was all about, and I didn't understand like the big picture, and it took a long time. And I would say for the first 18 months, yeah, I probably wanted to use most days, and that was coming to meetings, and that was doing little bits of service. You know, and the obsession had left, but that craving and the desire was still there, you know, and I was sitting in meetings thinking maybe, you know, I don't know what everyone else is doing, you know, but I really missed it, you know, and I really missed it, sort of, it was like a fellowship, really. I came from another fellowship before I got here, and I missed my old mates, yeah, you know, and I missed being around my family, and I had to bring up boundaries, you know, and it was difficult. And it was one of the most challenging things that I've done since I got here, and probably one of the most important things that I've done, is to pull away and sort of put the boundaries up and pull away, you know, because I realised really quickly that I wasn't going to be able to do what I was doing before I came here and knock about with the people that I was knocking about with and be able to stay clean. It's going to be absolutely impossible. And that was a loss. It was a big loss, not to mention the loss of the relationship that I had with drugs, which was the most powerful relationship I've ever had. And I really missed it. I really missed it. What can I say? I come from a very close family. I come from a family where my ma's in the bath. She likes people to be in there with her talking to her, you know, sitting on the floor. And the kids go to the toilet with the door open. You know, and people talk to each other while they're on the toilet and in the bath. You know, it's very healthy, very, very loving family, very, very loving family, very close. There's 5 kids, you know, the only flaw, really. My dad's a gambler, he gambled away a lot of money that I had my eye on, you know. I still haven't got over it. I'm working on it, though. Now I see someone who's really sick, you know, and it makes me really sad, actually. Makes me very sad, and it's not so much about me no more, but it makes me sad to see that's had an effect on my mum, you know. So that's that, and I've heard so many people share up here, I felt awkward, I felt disconnected, I felt probably fearful and bored, really, you know, and I remember being in Liverpool, I remember being in the winter, I remember people smoking dope or whatever and being really, really scared, wondering what they were doing. And just remember feeling disconnected. You know, and I remember sort of like school, I remember like wearing a blazer, you know, thinking, what's this all about? Like, you know, this is horrendous. You know, I just felt so consumed, I just felt lack, really. I just didn't feel any sort of joy. And then when I used, you know, everything changed, you know, everything changed, and my whole outlook on life sort of changed. And you know, I talked about the fellowship before, and then when I started using, all of a sudden I became part of something, you know, and I just see that as another fellowship. You know, we come together with a primary purpose, you know, lads coming together and using, you know, and getting money or doing whatever, and it was very powerful, and it made me feel part of. And you know, so, and very quickly the obsession was there straight away. You know, the thought of having to go a day just at the beginning without smoking dope was absolutely impossible. And it progressed from there, you know, and it just kept progressing. And, you know, I suppose I remember taking half an E, you know, and just, it was unbelievable. You know, not only did I then feel part of, but what I felt when I was actually part of something, I felt like I was in charge of it as well. You know, so it was a big leap from being disconnected and less than and awkward to then being part of and in charge of it. Obviously, I wasn't. But it was very powerful, and then, so why wouldn't I do it again? You know, there was no going back to the blazer then, you know, and that was 14, and that was it, I was done. And where it come from, it's about acquiring as many things as possible, probably most, where most of us come from, you know. It's about getting material things, it's about getting a few quid in your pocket, it's about what you wear and what your beard looks like. You know, and using was just, you know, was just powerful. It was really powerful, and I loved it, and I just loved, I suppose, that fellowship thing. And I loved the pub. I wasn't really like a raver. I loved sitting in the pub, and I loved like the jukebox and like the ashtray and the ciggies and being off your nut listening to Barry White or something like that. That's what I was into, and I didn't like drinking Budweiser because it was boring and it bloated me. I liked to drink brandy or vodka. I liked to drink it fast and straight because it made me feel warm and it got me where I needed to go fast. And then I realised that when I add a few other things on top of that, powders, whatever else, it gets me there even faster, and I can dance better, and everyone thinks I'm really funny. And that's what happened, and I continued to use, and then, you know, and like I've shared before, if that would have continued to work, you absolutely wouldn't have got me in here 1,000,000%, you know, and I just wouldn't have come here otherwise, you know. And so that sense of self had given me, that sense of feeling part of and feeling better or as good as people, it stopped working, and it was horrific, you know. And it happened slowly as well, so the fear built up. I knew it was I think this is stopping, this isn't. And I remember sort of, it come on top, I remember like starting to have seizures, you know, and I'd be fitting on the floor, you know, and probably calling an ambulance, and sort of getting out the hospital and thinking, oh God, you know, and using that day, you know. And then you know, we talk about like sort of that I want to be able to be a social drinker. I probably wanted to be able to drink socially from when I was about 19, and I used to tell my missus, I used to say to her, you know, and I used to believe I'm going to have a shandy, and like I really believed it, you know. I was convinced that that's what it was going to do. So I wasn't telling the lies, I was telling her what I really thought, you know. And then 4 days later or whatever, you know, I'm like having a fit, you know, in a darkened room, you know, full of shame and guilt, and can't believe I'm behaving like an animal, you know. And actually getting home and screaming, what's wrong with me? You know, that's what I used to say. And I was saying that for about 10 years. I wasn't worried about what was wrong with me when I was using, just when it was coming on top. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me, love? What's wrong with me? And I went to loads of places, 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah, I went to a lot of places to try and find out what was wrong with me. And, you know, and I ended up in recovery. And like I said, it was a real struggle. You know, I came to meetings and I wanted to use, you know, I just wanted to use. You know, I didn't want what was on offer. It was a struggle. And it took a long time to sort of thaw out. You know, it's different today. I'm pleased that I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I believe I sort of have a better understanding what it's all about. And it's still about the drugs for me today, you know. I know recovery involves a lot more than not just not using, Yeah, but it all leads back to the drugs, you know. It's, you know, it's still about, you know, we're giving key rings out at the end, you know, celebration of clean time. You know, and I know it needed to change when it got here, and sort of so far in, the missus left 10 years. You know, thought I'm either going to kill myself or I need to start hanging around with these people in coffee shops. You know, but it was a close call still. You know, coffee shops in Kennington weren't that attractive to me. You know, I really struggled with all that. And so then I realised that to change, get involved, and someone sort of started giving me some of the time. Probably people offered before that, but I didn't really want it. Took me through the literature, sort of got an understanding of what it was that was wrong with me. And that was really good to me, because I was sat in a lot of meetings looking at all the differences. And it was really easy to spot the differences. And then, so when I got understanding what was wrong with me in the literature, it doesn't bring a face, it doesn't have a personality. And it gave me a real strong sense of why I'm here and what I need to do. And I really held on to that. And it's invaluable, and I suppose that's why we talk about the importance of the literature, you know, that it's in there. You know, and then I realised, like I said, I had to bring up boundaries, I had to pull away, you know, sort of thoughts on new associations, people who aren't using, you know, and you know, and I'm really grateful today that I'm clean. You know, I know my ma's grateful, you know, I know my family's grateful, you know, and I haven't used, you know, I have found a new way of life, I really have. You know, I like to have a laugh and, you know, go for dinner, I like to laugh about, but I have found a new way of life, and I knew that to enable me to stay clean, I needed to change the way I think, because sooner or later I'll think it's a good idea to use. I need to change the way I behave, because sooner or later I'll behave in a manner that prevents me from being able to get in touch with what goes on in the meetings to enable me to stay clean. So everything leads back to using, you know, so I have to change. And today I changed sort of happily, you know, and you know, I'm proud to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I don't wear NA t-shirts or hats, you know, but I am proud to be part of recovery, and it's a big part of my life. And I try and help people. I go to lots of meetings, and you know, God willing, you know, that I can keep coming back. Thanks.